back up, put them back down. You gonna testify or what? I got something on my heart right now. You know, I believe you should come here expecting to do something. You know, anybody can just sit here and just listen. Yeah, that's easy. But you should come with something on your heart, because he's done a lot. You know, for me, these doctrines for the last couple of months, it's done something to me. I don't even know how to put it into words. But it's changed some things about me that I'm starting to recognize, and it's completely out of character. It's completely out of what I would choose for myself. And you know what? It's okay. I love it. You know, my wife even loves it. I just got confirmation last night. It's great. You know, so I want God to keep doing what he's doing with me. Keep showing me stuff, you know, and it's changed my understanding. It's changed the way I look at things, how I'm handling people. You know, it taught me some good stuff. And the most important thing to me, you know, I'm really quick to, you know, talk. God told me just surrender. Just be quiet.
Right.
Just keep walking. You know what I mean? You do a lot more just listening than you do talking.
Right.
You know, and if you talk, say something. Don't say nothing. Don't just talk air. You know. But I was blessed, man, because God showed me some things. You know, my car broke down and turbo went out and all that. I didn't even know I had a turbo. You know, found out I was putting the wrong oil in the whole year I had it.
Oh my.
And I'm like, man. Lord, have mercy. Smoking up the road and everything. People mad at me, you know, just rubbing everybody the wrong way. But, you know, I looked at the whole situation. I was like, man, Lord, you got some nuggets in here that I'm going to go dig out, and I want to talk about it. I want to share it with the body. And, you know, having the right oil in your car can take you a long way, you know.
Yeah.
And I started looking at the message. If you ain't got the right oil here, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to grow. You're just going to blow smoke, you know? And I know I got experience in blowing some smoke, you know? But I just wanted to sing a song because, man, God's done so much for me, and I don't want to overlook it. I want to share, you know? And I love him, man. I didn't ask for him.
Right.
You know, I didn't ask for him at all. Everything he's given me, this revelation, this word, you know, a pastor that sees some things, man, even when I don't, even when I don't want to listen, when he's just patient with me, you know,
right.
He deals with me, and man, that's a blessing. I don't know about you, but it's to me, you know.
Amen.
So I want to just sing this song. I mean, if you know it, you can sing along. If you know the keys, play along. Okay.
Amen.
All right. As the deer panteth forth the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Strength, my shield, to you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. So much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. Joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You desire, and I long to worship thee. God bless you guys. Love you.
I just want to give God the praise. You know, God has been so good to us. You know, it's been so good to my family, so good to me. You know, and today we got our countertops. Thank God.
Amen.
So, you know, we're a happy household. You know, but God also reminded me today, because I went to the doctor and I had to have a hearing test, and I was remembered back, because, you know, they put you in this box, and I remember back when something fell on my son and cracked his skull, you know, and they had to do the same thing for him, and I was sitting in there and I was like, oh, this is memory, you know, but God touched him, you know, nothing's wrong with his hearing, you know, God, yeah, something's wrong with mine. But God, believe God will touch that too,
yeah.
You know, and then and some other stuff came out of that appointment, you know, that I'm believing God for, you know, and I just,
like,
it's just Satan, because I'm not even going to give Satan the glory, even saying what it is, but I just believe that everything's going to be all right, because, you know, God is good.
Amen.
Amen. Sing page 166, when we all get to heaven.
Yeah.
A feeling everything's gonna be all right.
Be all right, it's gonna be, it's gonna be.
It's so good to be in church on Wednesday night. No matter what you're going through, no matter where your feet are going, just remember what Jesus told us. Boy, that preacher preached on Sunday. Amen. He told us where we're going. He was prophesying. He was telling me about my new home. Yeah. He told me about that marriage supper. Who can be sad with a God like this? And the good thing is, no matter what we're going through, everything's going to be all right.
Amen.
Brother Caleb. Unless someone has a different plan, I'd like to get going.
Oh, my. Amen.
I'm enthused because the doctrine I want to preach on tonight, you know, every doctrine that we preach on has changed my life, but the one I'm going to talk about tonight has got to be in the top three or five of truly impacting my life. And I want to talk tonight, I'll throw this out there and then I'll slow down, the difference between Malachi 4 and Revelation 10. The doctrine of the difference between Malachi 4 and Revelation 10.
Amen.
Now, to be able to even say the difference between Malachi 4 and Revelation 10 takes a revelation. And what I've learned through my short time on this earth and 18 years getting up here is very few people understand the difference between Malachi 4 and Revelation 10. And if you don't understand the difference between Malachi 4 and Revelation 10, it will be hard for you to tap into your day and its message. If you want to get serious about talking about the rapture, you got to understand the difference between Malachi 4 and Revelation 10. If you want to understand just about all the doctrines we've recently went through, you've got to understand the difference between Malachi 4 and Revelation 10. If you don't, you're going to preach a message that will confuse the people.
Right.
You will preach a message that's got them working their way to heaven one day, and on the next service, he told them they can't lose it. And so one service, they're coming in thinking they got to go to the altar to earn their way to heaven, and they're worried and thinking they're not worthy. And then the next service, they're coming in saying, I'm predestinated and I can't help but make it. I'm glad I know the difference between the two ministries because I don't have to make you worry about making it to heaven tonight. I know I come from God, and I know I'm going to God. Oh, my. I'm excited about this because it's one of the core things you got to understand. To go to church here and to be able to sit here and enjoy what we teach here, you got to understand the difference between Malachi 4 and Revelation 10, Brother Childers. And I'm excited because I'm going to just hit the highlights of it tonight because we preached years on this. But this is a good eating right here, Brother Childers, because people in this message don't know how to divide the two. And a matter of fact, people in this message spend majority of the time, 90% of the time, 95% of the time on Malachi 4 only, and because they don't understand what Revelation 10 did, they don't know how to tap into it. But if you want to get out of this earth and get in a rapture, you better be talking out of Revelation 10. You want extended grace? Better get to Revelation 10. You want the truth on marriage and divorce? You better get to Revelation 10. You want to understand your theophany and what it really is? You better get to Revelation 10. You want to understand the new heaven and the new earth and the sequence of events in Daniel 70 weeks, on and on and on, you better get to Revelation 10 or you won't get the full understanding on it. So I got to slow down because some people are sitting here saying, what in the world is Malachi 4 and what in the world is Revelation 10? Well, they're scriptures and we're going to read them tonight and we're going to let you know what they are. And I want to make sure before you leave that there's a difference in the two jobs.
Amen.
One scripture was fulfilling one thing, and the other scripture was fulfilling something else.
Amen.
Both needed fulfilled. Both have to happen.
Yeah.
But in the hour that we're living in right now, our day and this message comes out of Revelation 10.
Right.
So you got to understand that.
Amen.
So I was thinking because, you know, Brother Childers was talking about this a little bit Sunday morning, and Brother Moore was saying Sunday in his message, he said, you know, even in 61 when he was preaching Daniel 70 weeks, Brother Branham didn't quite drive the nail home. Didn't quite clarify. That was just 3.5 years. But there was a reason why later he could.
Right.
That something had changed. There was an angel that came and talked to him a little bit. But anyway. Let me slow down. I'm excited about this stuff. Because I was thinking about it, Jim. There's so many doctrines that I love. I love them all. And they've all changed my life. But when it comes to preaching this message and having a rest in this message and know where I'm going, if you don't understand the difference between Malachi 4, you won't be able to walk with me too long. Because I'll say things that will scare you. You'll think I take too much authority upon myself. I'll say, if you want to see God, look right here, and you'll say, who in the world does that guy think he is? I'll say that you can't live good enough to make him, bad enough to miss it, and you're saying, who in the world does that guy think he is? I'll say that people have been married more than once is going to make it to heaven, and you're going to say, who in the world, where did he get this? He don't believe the message. But what the problem is I believe the message, you just don't understand the difference between Malachi 4 and Revelation 10. So I'm going to help you understand that tonight by God's grace.
Amen.
Good to see our brother. We saw him Saturday night. It's good to see your brother. You want to introduce yourself? Brother Moore, the guy right behind you, too. I'm sorry. Yeah. I know you. Yeah, you too. Brother Hill, nice to meet you, Brother Skyler. We saw him Saturday night down at the church service, so. Okay, didn't know that, so good to see you, Scott. Well, good. That's Jimmy's brother. That I know. And then Scott behind him, I didn't know him, but I saw him Saturday. Okay. So that's why we know who that is then. I know exactly who that is now. Yeah. Yeah. Good to see him. Amen. Good to know.
Amen.
Well, Joel, the second chapter, where I want to start for just a minute. Joel, the second chapter. And I'm just going to read one verse because I want you to hear this because it's going to tie in, and then I'm going to go to Malachi 4. Joel 2:25, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And I just want to throw that in there. Now I want to go over to Malachi 4 real quick. Malachi, the fourth chapter. I want to start with, we'll just start with verse 1, read the whole chapter here. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. We already talked about that a little bit. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the saw. And you shall tread down the wicked, and they shall be ashes under the sole of your feet. In the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. We've talked about all that. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all of Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, this is where we want to get to, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, there's a lot in this scripture, and there's a few different roles in this scripture, but I'm going to go ahead and talk about two things in this. One is I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet.
Right.
Now, if you go back to the Old Testament, God showed a sign that he was going to send the spirit of Elijah 5 times. Right. And I'll go through this real quickly. The Elijah the prophet, the actual Elijah the prophet was 1. Elisha was 2. John the Baptist was 3. The Malachi 4 that I'm about to talk to you tonight, William Branham is 4, and it'll be Moses and Elijah over there is 5. But there was a prophecy here that he's going to send us Elijah the prophet. And the second part of that last verse says, I'm going to restore the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And I read you a scripture before that that said, I'm going to restore everything that insect had eaten. So I want to walk through that for a minute. is when Paul the apostle was here, who was a major prophet that got visited by the pillar of fire, he had the perfect revelation of Amen. Jesus Christ. Amen. He didn't preach anything that was wrong. That's why even Brother Bram says, I preach what Paul preached. Because he knew Paul was a prophet, and if Paul baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the right way you're supposed to baptize. And so when Paul was here, they had the word of the hour in perfected form. There was no creeds in it. No dogmas in it. They knew there was one God. They knew how to baptize. Paul even started trying to separate law from grace for him because he knew Christ had come and paid the price. So there was the truth that Paul preached. The problem is the scripture says that grievous wolves would enter in. And what happened is creeds and dogmas, Satan started introducing them to the church. And what? And another way in type, that insect started eating away at that perfect word. Instead of baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to teach them to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Instead of teaching baptism, new birth without sensation, I'm going to tell them they got to jump and shout and feel some sensation to be born again. Started introducing creeds. And what happened, Brother Chillers, it was four death angels that just started taking that message away, eating away at what Paul brought, eating away at that original word, that written word that we read, that he wrote to his followers, Corinthians and Romans and Hebrews and Thessalonians and Timothy, all that word, Satan started trying to eat away at that. The cankerworm, the palm worm, caterpillar started saying, we're going to put this creed in there. We're going to put this false doctrine in there. Instead of teaching one God, we're going to teach them there's three gods. And 325 A.D., what did they do at the Nicaea Council? They started putting all these creeds on paper and saying, there's three gods, not one God. Right. Catholic Church got so much in there, you know what they started teaching? Pay your way out of purgatory. Pay your saints out of... Now, you can't find that in the Bible. Paul didn't teach that. You don't even find purgatory taught by Paul. But that's what the Catholic Church started teaching you, that there was a purgatory and that you could pay for people to get out of hell. They start eating away at Paul's true doctrine. But God said, I will restore everything that those insects ate away. And in one side of it, restoration really started in Luther's day. But to get to full restoration, he had to send you Elijah the prophet, Malachi 4, William Marion Branham, another major prophet to get us full restoration back to what Paul preached.
Amen.
And that was Malachi 4's job, is restore the faith of the children, you and me, back to the fathers. The original Pentecostal fathers. The original word that they had. That was his job. And Brother Branham fulfilled that to a T. I had started reading Surges. Is this the time again the other time when I was preaching about the cloud? And I was just amazed because it had been a while where he was just naming things. He said they had the baptism of the Holy Ghost wrong. I think I even got that quote here. Let me read a couple of those. But he was naming them. That he said, and then listen to what he said here, and I'll just let him tell you. We have water baptism. It's all mixed up. That's right. One sprinkles. One pours. One takes Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. One takes one baptized three times face forward. One for the God named Father. One for the God named Son. One for the God named Holy Ghost. One said you're wrong. He says you got to baptize backwards three times. Oh, what a mess. But the whole thing has been wound up, for there's only one God, and his name is Jesus Christ. And there's not another name under heaven whereby men must be saved.
Amen.
There's not one text of Scripture nowhere in the Bible where anybody was ever baptized in any other way but in the name of Jesus Christ. Point us back to the Word. Point us back to what Paul preached. That's what he was doing. Not one time. And he said, not one time was any new church or Church of Jesus Christ ever sprinkled, poured, or anything else. Not one time was ever a ceremony used. It's creeds and things. And in the battle for truth, them that's been lost, but God said he would restore it again in the last day. I will restore, saith the Lord. We went through that not long ago in the bride tree. Brother Branham preached a message called the bride tree. And he talked about those four insects eating away at it and then how it came back to life. The Bible said it would be here. He said Malachi 4. So he's even trying to point you to the scripture that fulfills that job. So that is one of the things that that messenger Malachi 4 does. And that's his job. But you know, and I'm going to get to this and read it and tie it in. Malachi 4, and it was an important job, so I'm not taking away from it. All he had at that point is what Paul preached.
That's right. That's it.
All he had an understanding to, and even that he had to fight to get correct, was to read the scriptures exactly what they said. He could only restore what was lost, Brother Childers. So you know what Malachi 4 would do, Brother Isaiah, and this is important. I'm going to say it, and this scares the message people. It's all he could do. He couldn't help it. He'd read Romans 7. And he read about marriage and divorce. And he read where it said if a woman has a living husband and she get remarried, she's an adulteress, and there's no way for her to make it. I'm paraphrasing. And the man that would marry her, he's an adulterer, and there's no way that he can make it. And he would read it written as it is, written as Paul wrote it. And you know what he would teach? Don't ever get married a second time. If you do that, I don't know if there's I'm not sure you can make it to heaven. You can find quotes where he said it just like that. Even later, you know, he would struggle. He said, I think there might be a way, but I haven't quite, in other words, I haven't quite figured it out yet.
Right.
Why? Because all Malachi 4 could do and all he had been handed was a written word Bible.
Amen.
He would read it in the Bible where it had so much in a lot of people's creeds and dogmas, good living. And there's a truth to living good and being a good neighbor. But he would read the no adulterer shall ever enter heaven, no idolater. And there's a truth there because when we're on the other side, all that will be done away with. But he would take that interpret and said, you got to shape your life up. And if you don't live A, B, C, you're not going to heaven because the scripture clearly says it. Malachi 4 was locked down. You know, if he was a lot like John the Baptist versus Jesus. And let's throw it in. John the Baptist ran into Herod, who was going to get married again. And we know Herod wasn't an Alexia to God, but still, the only answer that John the Baptist could give Herod is if you get married again, you're in trouble. He gave them the law. That's all he had. All he had was Moses' law. He stayed to it. He held true to the word, just like Malachi 4 does, just like William Branham does. But then Jesus came. The Son of Man came. The Holy Ghost came down and said, this is my beloved Son whom I'm glad to dwell in. And he met a woman that had been caught in the act of adultery. And he said, go and sin no more. He met a woman at the well that had been married 5 times. And he didn't send her to hell. He forgave her, told her what her problems was, and sent her on her way. She made it to heaven, just so you know. That was the difference between John the Baptist and Jesus. John the Baptist was stuck with just the written word. Well, Malachi's poor job was to restore the written word as Paul had written it. But that's as far as he could go. And you know what? Because Brother Branham was a prophet, here's the thing. You can go back and read his quotes. Find him in 1961. Find him in 1960. Find him in Stature of a Perfect Man in 1962. You'll find him in 1956. Find him in the Hebrew series in 1954. Where he'll say things that if you just read them line for line, there's not a person in here going to make it to heaven. I'm just being honest with you. He said some strong things. Put some law on us. That if you're not understanding, have a clear understanding, you'd be worried tonight, sitting here worried if I can make it to heaven or not. I've been to plenty of message churches in my due time, and God bless them, love them, not even trying to talk bad about them. But service from service, people are coming to the altar talking about getting their life cleaned up and trying to consecrate your life. You know, there's nothing at face value, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
To want to consecrate yourself to God and give Him more time, that's a good thing. I'm not anti that, but that's at face value. The problem with it is it's more than face value.
Right.
That person's actually condemned, thinking they're going to go to hell, thinking they got to go do something to earn their way to heaven.
Right.
And all because they actually read a quote from Malachi 4, word for word, and just taking it at face value, they condemn themselves. And I can balance this thing. Brother Bram did exactly what he was supposed to do with Malachi 4. And if you can understand that, you can use those quotes the right way. But people, because of his job and only having the written word, there's a lot of law interpretation in there. But I'm glad that's not the only thing that we're left with. Now, in order for Christ to marry the bride, she had to be perfect. If you have creeds and dogmas in there, you can't marry that. So the word had to be restored. Because Christ ain't coming down to marry something that's not perfect. That's why he couldn't. That's one of the reasons why he couldn't come in Luther's age. We had seven ages and it wasn't a full bride. But Luther didn't have the full word. Wesley didn't have the full word. The 1906 Pentecost didn't have the full word. It wasn't ready to be married yet. We were still going towards full restoration. But when you get it fully restored back to the original word, then he can come put a capstone on that, Brother Church. He can come and marry that. But so we had to have restoration. But I'm glad that I don't only have quotes out of 1961. Because this message has went a little further than that. And it's important to understand this. Because I'm just like those people's churches I visited, Brother Moore. Before I understood this thing, I wasn't sure if I was worthy to make it to heaven. Before I understand what I'm about to go into next, Brother Isaiah, I was in that the same altar that they were at. Nothing wrong with concentrating yourself to God, but like I said, it was deeper than that. I thought I had committed the sin that was going to knock me out. It was condemnation on me. That was the problem. And it was a bunch of law on me. And I thought, oh, I messed up. I lied here. I messed up, but I didn't do this right. I messed up, but I did this. And I thought, I can't live what Malachi 4 preached. Right. You know, Brother Branham even said it one time. He said, if I took every scripture in there and wanted to use just one as evidence, I could get us all condemned, basically. I could. Maybe you haven't lied, but have you drank? Maybe you haven't drank, have you smoked? Maybe you haven't smoked, but did you wear pants when you should have wore a skirt? Maybe you haven't done this, but did you do that? Did you even think about it? Because Jesus came and said, it's not just if you do it with her, if you even think about it. So I'll throw the challenge at you. I can find a scripture to put you out. Because you were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. You got human blood running through you, and you got sex glands inside of you, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eye in you, that I can guarantee you that you'll fail one of them.
Amen.
I'll find one of them. Because we don't even go back to Leviticus where we could really get you. You want to know about those priests? We can get you. They couldn't even have in-laws hardly that had problems. Generations to even be a Levite. So I can find something on you if you want me to. But I'm glad that Jesus came. Because the law came by Moses. And grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So I'm glad that it wasn't just Malachi 4. I'm glad he did his job. We needed him. But I'm glad it went a little bit further than that, Brother Childers. Because if it hadn't, there would have been people in 1965 that had been married more than once. Went to their grave thinking they were going to hell. You know, Brother Moore, I think he said it not too long ago. Down through the ages and one since they were predestined to see the God. They weren't going to be lost. The difference is they didn't know that. They were living under creeds and dogmas, thinking they had to live something, thinking they had to work something up. So they actually went to their grave hoping that they were good enough.
Amen.
Hoping that they could live something up. Hoping that they were going to manifest something that was good enough for God. And not knowing the whole time Jesus was going to come back for his bride, had already saw her before the foundation of the world, already had paid the price before the foundation of the world, already actually manifested it right at Calvary. It was been sitting at the mercy seat just doing it for seven ages, winking at their ignorance the whole entire time. Couldn't be lost because they were in his mind before the foundation of the world. These are things we understand now that they had no clue about. Why? Because of Revelation 10's message. I'm going to read here in a little bit. You better thank God we went a little bit further. We came over here to an eighth-day message, so to speak, where it's time no longer. That's what's made you and me free and feel like we have no condemnation. You know I want to do what God wants me to do. That's my desire. He wants me to preach. I want to preach. He wants me to quit a job. I want to quit a job. He wants me to never do something ever again. I want to quit it that day. That's my desire. But I'm glad to know that I come from God. And that whether I can live up to my desire or not live up to my desire, I belong to Him and I'm going back to Him. Oh my. That's why this doctrine that I'm talking about tonight means so much to me. Because if you stop at Malachi 4, you can't talk like this. You can only talk like this if you've met a man that got visited by the angel and took you out of time and moved you to eternity. Brother Moore, I've met men that have preached to me and taught me the Word of God for the hour that I live in. And it's been quickened to me. And it wasn't just Malachi 4. It was the Word out of Revelation 10 that has made me free. And you'll go to these churches, and what they'll do is they'll spend time in quotes out of 60 and quotes out of 61. And they forget over in 64, I think it was, where he said, you can't have law and grace at the same time. Oh, my. See, here's the problem. You only find one or two of those. I'm going to help you tonight. You can go read all 1,100 message books. I'm here to tell you, you're not going to find too many quotes to tell you you can't have law and grace at the same time. Why? Because Malachi 4's ministry in that man's body was much longer than Revelation 10's man's ministry in that man's body. So I'm going to help you because I got a revelation. God's dealt with me. And I can see even brighter now than it was in 1965. It's brighter now than it was in 1973. It's brighter now than it was in 2017 a week ago. I see it so clear now that I can help you see this thing. I'm going to tell you, if you get confused by these quotes, put them down and let me tell you what they mean. You can't have law and grace at the same time. You won't find 100 of those quotes, but it is still the truth nonetheless. You can't have something that tells you cannot run the red light and run the red light at the same time. That is confusion. It's one or the other. And we know that Jesus Christ brought grace. So that means law is not even in the picture. If you go to 1 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 9, the Bible even says the law is not for a righteous man. And the Bible also says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted for righteousness for him. If you recognize your day in this message and believe the Word of God, you are a righteous man, and the law is not even for you. You can't be condemned by the law. I don't care if you walk out of these doors, if you're an election of God that believes His Word, and you mess up tonight, if you want to call it mess up, and go out there and drink or smoke, if you're a child of God, the law does not condemn you. I might have a different answer for you about it got you in a wreck and it got you to jail. I might warn you not to do it for those reasons and a lot of reasons why I might tell you not to do it. But it has nothing to do with salvation. Your salvation is outside of time, really. He came down inside of time and hung on a cross. But what I mean is God saw you before the foundation of the world, before time even began, and declared He loved you before you even had a chance to do good or evil. So let me read some scripture here to tie this stuff in. So we know what Malachi 4 did. Now let me read a quote real quick and then I'll read the scripture. Brother Branham, who in this message that we follow and believe and connect everything to, this is what he said in the Church Age book. Now this messenger of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10, 7, second part there, is going to do two things. Not just one, two. Not just Malachi 4, there's another job. One, he lays it out. According to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. We just talked about what that meant. Back to what Paul preached, the original Pentecostal fathers that had the true word, he restored that written word back to a perfect order. That was one. But don't stop there. He said two. He will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10.
Yeah.
Now, you know, just at reading that book, that's just one little sentence. But I'm going to tell you, eternity's behind those words. Grace and truth behind those words. Truth over marriage and divorce is behind those words. Knowing you came from God, going back to God is behind that little sentence. The mystery of the seven thunders of Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. It will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally, you know, just Malachi 4 by itself, it did a job, but it wasn't going to fully get you to the literal return. Turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. Exactly so. Oh my, now that's important, because that's in there too. And you don't find that quote in a bunch of places. Just find it in one. But it's an important one to understand. He didn't just stop at Malachi 4. He put a second job in there. And he said it was Revelation 10 and 7. So let's go over and read what that says. The true new birth came in this age. The literal turn back. Revelation 10. And I'll, for the sake of time tonight, I'm going to read 1 through 7 and stop there and not go to 8 to 11. But it's in there too. But I wanted to talk about this job, and then I want to tie it into us for a minute. Revelation, the 10th chapter, verse 1. Because, you know, when you get a revelation, the scripture makes sense to you. And I'll read through it quickly. I saw another mighty angel. This wasn't an earthly angel. Come down from heaven. This was a heavenly angel. This is God himself. This is the Holy Spirit. This is the Lord himself.
Amen.
Clothed with a cloud and a rainbow is upon his head, and his face as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he held in his hand a little book open. It's an open book. Now the same book, if you go to Revelation, the 5th chapter, John was weeping because it was closed. And nobody was worthy to open it. And, but then he said, wait a minute, here comes the lion of the tribe of Judah, the lamb. He's worthy to open the book. You connect these together, you start learning who this is. And he set his right foot upon his seat, his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered his voices.
Right.
I just read you to a quote that seven thunders, right. The divine revealed mystery truth out of the seven thunders is what will literally turn the hearts
right.
back.
Amen.
So these seven thunders mean
Amen.
Something if you believe this message.
Amen.
And I cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write.
Yeah.
Now, this is some key points here. I was about to write, and I heard a voice come from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not.
Amen.
Now, let me slow down there for a minute. You know what that was? John got to see a vision.
Yeah.
They showed him what was going to happen at the end time.
Yeah.
John saw the message that we are preaching and what in exactly the day and hour we lived in,
yeah.
and he was getting ready to write it word for word.
Yeah.
He was going to make it very clear to people. But God didn't want this thing revealed at that point because he didn't want Satan to get in the middle of it. He wanted to build that body in secret so that Satan couldn't get in there and try to mess it up. So he said, John, don't write it. So he said, seal those things up. So you know what God did? He wrote it in symbols. That's why the book of Revelations, if you go to your churches, people don't know what those symbols mean because God is the one that did it. So John, you can't write exactly what you saw. You're going to have to seal it up. Write it in symbols. So he put a white horse in there and a red horse. And we know what those things mean today. That white horse rider was just Satan as a bluff with a bow but no arrow.
Right.
We know those things clearly, but he wrote plenty of symbols. Candlesticks and angels. And we know what those are now, messengers.
Right.
We know what these symbols are. But at this point in time, John was getting ready to say, well, the first church age messenger was Paul. The second was Irenaeus. The third was Martin. And when you get down to the seventh, there'll be a Branham comes. And they're going to teach these things, and it's going to look almost a little contrary to what was preached previously. But when you step over here, it's going to be the eighth-day message of hidden mysteries.
Right.
It's too obvious, so God's like, seal that up. Don't write it. See, that's why this has been hid for a long time. Let me read on down, and I'll start talking to you about when it got revealed.
Right.
Seal up those things with the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. There was time right there in that church age time building that body. Now listen, right, here's the key point, the second job. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Brother Branham. You know, it's important to understand. You know, I'll slow down here in a minute. Malachi 4 talked about Elijah the prophet. Now, you know, people might think we're crazy if you don't have an understanding. That's okay. But I'm here. I'll just break this down for you. This prophet that we believe in was prophesied in this Bible. First, to do the job of Malachi 4, it said, I will send you Elijah the prophet. And then we have these seven thunders over here that John was told to seal up. And the only way you're going to get to hear and be finished and revealed is when he declared it to who? His servant, the prophet. And we read Amos, the third chapter, where it says God does nothing without revealing it to his servants, the prophets, first. So you got to get a prophet in there somewhere. And that's what Brother Branham did for us and the role that he played. And he did Malachi 4 first, but you can't stop there. He also did this job. And what this job was is take what was in symbol form and make it a reality to us. Say, this symbol means this. This symbol means this. And this whole time he was building a bride. And we're part of the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And let me show you what he's done the whole time. Paul did it. Irenaeus did it. Luther did it. Wesley did it. And it's been declared and shown what's been hidden the entire time. Now, here's another thing I want to tell you. Since I talked about law and grace, this stuff was sealed up in the Bible. So it's in there. But it wasn't written word for word the way that we're used to seeing things. It was written between the lines, hidden inside the scriptures. And why that's important is, Brother Branham in 1965, I'll use this as an example, go back to Romans 7, where before he said, I read that scripture, and it says if you got married a second time with a living husband, you cannot make it to heaven. But in 1965, Brother Childers, he came down with people caught in that very condition, and said, go as you are. Something changed.
Amen.
Something happened.
Amen.
What was it? It was no longer just Malachi 4 reading the written scriptures. The mighty angel came down, the Lord himself, and said, this is more than just law to my bride.
Right.
I chose her before the foundation of the world, and a law will not keep her out.
Amen.
Go down there and tell them that. It's the message out of Revelation 10. When did he start saying? Law and grace can't exist at the same time. After opening the seals. When he started driving home, I got a scripture I'm going to read. The Bible became a new Bible to him. He said, it's hard to say it, but the Bible became a new Bible. Why did it become a new Bible? Because he wasn't just looking through it through the lens of Malachi 4. He was now speaking out of that job he had in Revelation 10, the seven thunders, the hidden mysteries, the revealed truths that had been hidden that now were becoming revealed. He could speak a little bit different, Brother Childers, and you got to understand that. Because this same prophet that we follow, I can find your quote in 60 where he says, you're not going to heaven if you do this. And I can find you same mess, same man, same guy, same voice, 1965, saying, I'll see you in heaven.
Amen.
In the same condition.
Amen.
You know, I read something the other day, and I'll just throw this out here. I don't, you know, you don't know if you can believe everything you read, but there's people in the message now that don't believe he's a prophet. You know, they're not in the message anymore. That's exactly right. They've left. But they were telling the story. I this came up on a feed that I was just reading. I said, I'm going to read this. So they used Houston 1963 when Brother Branham went back to preach, and that was a week after February 28th. It was like March 6th. But anyhow, the point I want to bring out, the reason why he was going back there, I had never heard this, but if this is true, it makes sense to me. I believe it. He went back because the man that took the photograph of him and the pillow fire over his head in Houston had a son that was getting ready to be on a death penalty, getting ready to be killed, electric chair. And you want to know why? It's going to hurt your feelings if it's true. His boy was a transvestite that had done some sexual things that weren't right. Now, we know Brother Branham don't believe in that. But this law-given prophet, according to them, flew back to Houston to try to get this boy out of death row. Now, I just read it the other day, and where people get trouble with that, because they live this way, live that way, and we don't believe in all that, but point being, Brother Branham, I think, had more grace than people give him credit for. He had more grace, Brother James. That's the point, reason why I want to bring it out, than people give him credit for. They want to put a lot of things on him that I don't think is altogether true. Now, that'll make people mad. I don't know if it's true or not. Just read it, but if it is true, it wouldn't surprise me. I guess is all I'm saying. But long story short, Brother Branham's words on some things changed. That's the thing I really want to drive home.
Amen.
Why? Because he wasn't just doing the job out of Malachi 4.
Right.
He stepped in his job out of Revelations 10.
Amen.
And you got to understand that, or you're going to read messages and get them crossed.
Right.
You're going to read quotes from Malachi 4 and quotes from Revelation 10, and they're not going to say always the same thing.
Right.
But there's a reason for that. One's a man in time. The other's a God from heaven.
Right.
And God's right. Because he even said, when an angel from heaven tells you, you got to agree with it. And it's the truth. And that's why you got to go with it. And why this is important is you can't just take every quote before 63 and before the opening seals and get the truth out of them. You'll do what I told you. You'll get people thinking they're going to hell. But if you can rightly divide Malachi 4's job and Revelation 10's job, which is very important to do, you'll be able to separate law from grace.
Amen.
You'll be able to realize that he was doing a different job back there than he's doing now. You'll start talking different. Because that Revelation 10 was more than just law and grace. It lets us know who the Son of Man was. It lets you know that the final voice would be in the bride. That the bride is the mouthpiece of God right now. That the bride has the power to forgive sins. It'll let you know that the bride's who he's taken to the rapture. On and on and on. It'll let you see your own name in the book. It'll let you realize, like I said, you'll come from God and going back to God. It'll let you see so many things. Why? Because the hidden mystery's been revealed. That second job got fulfilled. And you got to know the difference between the two, or you won't get them right. That's very important. And people in this message don't know how to do it. I've taken field trips and different things. I'll just leave it at that. If you want to call it a field trip, Brother Childers, they'll preach Malachi 4's message 95% of the time. And what they'll barely do is say, and then Revelation 10. But they don't, if they'll even say that. But they don't know how to go into it. And you know, that's what really, another thing that really separates us from a lot of people that believe Brother Branham is a prophet, is they don't know how to rightly divide that. And that's why what happened in 73 was so important. And when he went out in 78 and preached to two different ministries was so important. Because it's key to understand that if you want to understand the truth of this message. You won't get to the full truth of this message if you don't understand the two jobs.
Amen.
You'll be stuck going back and forth into law and grace, making it, not making it, false doctrine, true doctrine. You won't know what is right, but by revelation, you'll learn what's right. Now, let me read a couple more quotes here, then I'll get out of the way. Brother Branham talking here. I'll read two, and then I'll be done. This day the scripture is fulfilled. And I stood there a little bit, and the Holy Spirit revealed. I said, the entire Bible, as much has been revealed to man, through justification, just lost it, hold on, hit the button. Through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, baptism in Jesus' name, and all these things has been revealed. You know what you could easily say? That's Luther, Wesley, Seventh Church Age. We just went through all that's what Brother Branham says. Now we have the truth in those things. He said, but there is secrets that's hid inside. They got sealed up. That weren't quite written word for word. Because the Bible is sealed with seven seals. I must go there to find it. That morning when those seven angels come down and blast the earth, the rocks flew every way. Seven angels stood there and said, return back to Jeffersonville from where you come, for the seven seals of the seven mysteries will be opened. And here we are today, understanding serpent seed. That was the first one that we preached. In a few days, if God willing, we'll understand the correctness of marriage and divorce. That's 1965. He preached marriage and divorce plenty of times before that. And he's getting ready to say, we're getting ready to understand the correctness of it. Why? Because out of those hidden secrets. And all these things that God has opened, every seal, the mystery since the foundation of the world. And we've been in joy, the presence of his blessing. That is true. So he's saying it wasn't just justification and sanctification and baptism in Jesus' name. You got to go further to the secret that's hidden inside. That's the second job. One more quote. There's a lot of quotes you can say on this. You know, if you go to church here, you got about 10 that you know Brother Childers used to read all the time to show you this. I didn't bring all those. I just wanted to bring a few. You're hitting highlights. God's power to transform. Now listen to what Brother Bram says. It's hard to say this. Because he knows what he's getting ready to go against things he said before. It's very hard. Because speaking to people who feel the same way I do, you know, I could interpret that pretty well for you. That's went to church like I have and have been taught like I have and believe in living good, and I just put people in heaven that have been married times. It's hard to say this because I've taught you a lot of things and you went to church with me. For many years, the way I have been for many years, Brother Brown says. But since the opening of those seven seals of the angels just beyond the mountain yonder, this has become a new book. Now, he ain't just saying that for any old reason. Now, if you don't believe in a prophet at all, I'm not talking to you. This just seemed like a bunch of weird stuff to you. But if you believe that he's your messenger and you believe in this, these little nuggets are in here, and you got to be able to get them to rightly divide this message. It became a new book. You know what he's saying? I see things differently. I used to see them. I used to just read the lines. Now I'm reading between the lines. It became a new Bible. It's the thing. Listen where he puts the credit at. It's the thing that's been hid. It's being revealed as God promised in Revelation 10. Not Malachi 4. Revelation 10. He would do it. That's important. New Bible because of Revelation 10. He used to think certain ways. It's hard to say it. I've changed because I'm a new book because of the hidden mystery. Second job, you've got to rightly divide those two or you won't get this thing. Now, I just want to read this because this applies to us. We are the privileged people that God has chosen of the earth that we might see and understand these things. A lot of people read that and just skip right by it, but it's very few that really know how to read and understand this. Go back to Revelation 1. Blessed are he that reads and hears these things and keeps these things. That's us. And understand these things. It's not some mythical fleshly mind of a person trying to make it up. It's the word of God made manifest. I could go on and on and on. But I wanted to make a point. The doctrine between the difference between Malachi 4 and Revelation 10. One restored what Paul brought. One revealed the hidden mysteries. That is the simplest way to put it. And I put a couple notes down here, and I'll just read these. There's a lot more you could say. It showed time versus eternity. Church age time versus we're in the eighth day. It showed law versus grace. It showed restoration versus rapture, or versus revealing of the mysteries. It showed written word versus unwritten word. It separated the lost things from the hidden things. And I said it shows you can't mix quotes all together. And you can say a lot more about it. But this means a lot to me because Brother Deskins, even in this church, I used to preach and mix myself. Because at the time, that's all I could see. I didn't know how to separate the two. But I'm glad that I know how to separate the two tonight. Because if you can't separate the two jobs, you won't get fully the full understanding. You won't be able to give you God. You know why we don't have condemnation in this church? No one sitting here with a bunch of condemnation is because of what I preach to you. Because I'm here to tell you, if you are a message believer, I don't mean that like some manufactured thing, but you grew up in this message and you've been around it for a while and you read these quotes and you used to think you had to read them all and understand them all, you would read and say, I can't live up to that. I don't know what that means. And then over here he'd say, you can't have law and grace at the same time. And we're justified. You've never done it in the first place. And God put it in a sea of forgiveness. And you try to combine those two, you sit there and say, how in the world do these go together? I've heard people preach it like that. One day they're saying, if you don't do this right, you ain't going to heaven, or so-and-so can't even do this. Over here they'll say, but if your name's on the book, you're going to heaven. Mix them. Can't do it. Got to realize two different jobs. One was to restore, and one was to reveal the hidden mysteries. And our day in this message is the hidden mysteries. We referenced Malachi 4 because it had to happen. We needed it. But this is headship time. Christ has come down. Son of man on the earth. God in flesh. The bride of Jesus Christ that he's taken back with him to the wedding supper. On and on and on. That's out of Revelation 10, and that's our job, and that's our message. And you got to know how to go there, or you won't be able to set the people free and make them feel like they belong to God. But there is a difference between the two jobs. Brother Moore, forgive me for talking about Brother Branham in Houston, if that was bad. Talking bad about him, you can clean that up. But anyways, God bless you.
God bless you.
Go ahead.
That picture on the wall over there. You know where that picture was taken? Thousands of miles away from here. That's Brother Childers in the pulpit all the way into Philippines. God come down and took his picture with me.
Amen.
I never had it taken before. So that picture, in case you want to know it, God come down, and while I was in the pulpit preaching, God come down and took my picture with him. Now think of it. Never before had he ever done it. But that was the Holy Spirit, or the pillar of fire. That's what it was. That pillar of fire rested on Brother Branham. But it never rested on me until I went to the Philippines, which I've been to the Philippines several times. God come down and snapped my picture with the pillar of fire. That's God's doing. That's not man's doing. And snapped it, and that's what he come out. When he snapped the picture, the pillar of fire showed up, and I was in it.
Just to vindicate
right. That
he's there.
Right.
That's why he does that. You know, he'll vindicate that message.
And you see that picture over there, in case you don't know who that is. That's Brother Childers.
Mm-hmm.
As Brother Childers, God coming down and snapping his picture.
He wanted to take a picture with you.
Yeah.
God does that. God will do that to vindicate your message.
Yeah. Right. That's all it is.
That's all it is.
It's a vindication.
It's a vindication. That's what he did.
I am. And the message
that you carry.
Packed.
And that's the same thing he did with Brother Branham.
Yeah.
He just came down and snapped a picture to vindicate the message that he was bringing.
That's amazing. A lot of people don't believe that. And I don't make a big deal out of it.
Mm-mm.
It's just God's way of doing it.
Right. You know, if you look at the message that you brought, it also vindicates itself. Because it runs so perfectly. And it doesn't have any flaws. You don't have to back up. Don't have to take down. Don't have to ever go back and correct it again and do a better job next time. That vindicates that God's there.
That was done. They was probably 1,000 people or 1,500 one time. They was 1,500, they said, showed up in the meeting that I preached in.
Mm-hmm.
This year, I don't know. Only thing I know, we had rented a place.
There's not been a time that we hadn't rented that place that it, we didn't have 1,200 to 1,500 people there, right. At least.
That's right.
We would fill
rented
the place up.
Place, and that many people turned out in our meetings, and I was in the pillow for it. Nothing to do with it whatsoever. Wasn't even expecting it, but when I step in the pulpit, that pillow far come down in front of at least 1,000 people.
At least.
Or maybe 1,500 and saying, this is my servant in whom I'm well pleased to dwell in. Never before or not afterward.
Mm-hmm.
God done that.
He was just vindicating. Because this is a great message.
Oh, it's a great
message.
It's
a great message. Just like what Brother Jeremiah said tonight, to be able to rightly divide between Malachi 4 and Revelation 10, most people can't do that.
They can't do it.
They don't even see the difference between Malachi 4. You know, when Jeremiah was talking, I was thinking about, and I'll ask the question, how many times have you gone to churches and you've heard the preacher, in one sense, he's preaching and making you work, 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 and then before the service is over, he's telling you how much God's grace is, but then before that's over, he gets you back to work, 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 work. That's somebody who has not seen really the difference between Malachi 4 and Revelation 10.
Taking me all the way out of the country, thousands of miles, I travel into another country where I'd never been before, one time, and I was there probably 3 weeks. And I travel all over. Manila is the capital, but I was all over and never been there before. But I've been there several times.
Oh, yeah.
Been there several times. I went hundreds of miles out of Manila into other islands.
Mm-hmm.
And I preached. Had a little baby, 25 miles or later.
25 years later.
I went back. They prayed. Now watch this. They prayed, God send Brother Childers back to our country. This was out of Manila, hundreds of miles, and I'm holding a little baby in my arms, and 25
years later.
And I went back, and they said, is that you? Remember, that was years later.
Mm-hmm.
25 years later, I went back into that country, and they said, is that you holding that little baby? And I said, put 25 years on you. It'll change your looks. I was wide-headed at that time, but when the picture was taken, I was dark brown. Some of them said black. So I traveled the country.
Oh, yeah.
You know that. I've traveled the country. They prayed. Now, this is their words. We prayed, God send Brother Childress back to our country. 25 years later, I arrived in their country, walked in there, and they said, that's Brother Childress coming back into our country. God bless, and I preached. I said, yeah, that's me. But most people didn't believe it was me.
Mm-hmm.
I changed 25 years. You will too.
Oh, yeah.
But like I say, God used me in that country. They prayed, one fellow, old fellow, prayed, God send Brother Childress back. 10 years later, I arrived.
Mm-hmm.
I arrived. Now, think about it. He said, I prayed, and God sent you back 10 years later. He's dead now. He was a college guy, older guy. He said, I wanted to see you again. 10 years later, I arrived. Got off the plane. Went to Manila first. They only got 3 airports. Unless they've got one since I quit. 3 airports. You either take a bus.
Mm-hmm. Or boat. Or boat.
Or both. I've had both. I've took a bus and ride hundreds of miles. Think of it. I've been around a little bit. I ain't been around much, Brother Moore. But you've been around.
You've been around the Philippines.
And you ought to have said, ain't never a fellow preached a message in our country like Brother Childress.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they said. Never a man delivered a message like Brother Childress. And
you know, I still get emails from people asking about you from the Philippines.
They're begging me to come back.
I tell them no.
But Brother Moore, I'm 80, soon be 88 years old. I don't feel like traveling
no.
that far
no.
anymore. They're begging me. I get letters and calls all the time. Would you please come back? Our people wants to see you one more time. And I just don't feel like making the trip.
No, we don't feel like you're going either.
But God help. I've been blessed like no other man.
You know, you've been blessed, and you've blessed us. I mean, just like what Jeremiah preached tonight. That's a big. I mean, when he titled it, I felt like pushing him out of the way.
Yeah.
I know you felt that way.
Oh,
when he put the title out there and he said, "I'm going to talk on the doctrine between Malachi 4 and Revelation 10," I thought, "Oh my." You know, because most people, if you're in this message, you understand Malachi 4.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll hear that every service.
Every service.
You'll hear Malachi 4 every service.
But you'll never hear
Revelation 10.
Right.
And, you know, Jeremiah said it so right while he was preaching. I was thinking about it. Says, you know, it's the difference between John the Baptist and Jesus.
Right.
Yeah.
That was the difference. You said that. It's the difference of John the Baptist to Jesus. John the Baptist was law.
He He was law.
He was law. And he was rightly so the law, because the law did say these things. And John was raised up to follow the law. But then when Jesus came on the scene, Jesus broke every law.
Every law.
There wasn't one law he didn't break. And so when you're looking at Malachi 4 and Revelation 10, think of John the Baptist and Jesus. And if that don't get you, go back over to Moses. Because there's two phases in redemption. There's the coming out, and there's the going in.
Going in.
Malachi 4 brought us out. Under Moses' law, Moses brought them out. But Moses did not take them in.
Did not take them in.
Joshua took them in. And the same deal again. If you're looking for types and shadows, when you look at Brother Branham, Brother Branham brought us out of denomination. He brought us out from under all of his traditions of men, because his job was to restore the word. But remember, there was more to it than restoring the word. He restored all the word, but then he turned around to the tabernacle and said, Branham Tabernacle, we have come as far as we can in the written word. In other words, we've got everything back where Paul put it. All the lost things were brought back and put back in place. And you know what? Most people, if they're in this message, all they're going to do is preach on those lost things. And they'll talk, if they talk on anything at all, they'll talk on a lost thing. But that's just coming out. That's just John the Baptist. Right. That's just Moses. Yeah. There's still another part that was not even discussed before Revelation 10 come.
Right.
There was the lost things, and there were the hidden things.
Right. Yeah.
There were hidden mysteries that had never been revealed until Revelation 10.
Right.
So if you don't know Revelation 10, if you can't get to Revelation 10, you can't get to grace.
I was the first man. Now, this is not me saying this. This is other ministers' brothers. I was the first man to preach Revelation 10.
You were. You were preaching it.
Didn't only bring them out,
but took them in.
But took them in.
And see.
You know, you say this, they think you're boasting.
Right.
Brother Moore.
I know.
But you've traveled with me. It's absolutely been God. I'm uneducated. If it wasn't for God, I couldn't even sign my name.
Mm-hmm.
And travel halfway around the world so many times.
Well, like I said, if you listen to the way that preachers bring it in the message, they'll have law and grace mixed in their message all the way through.
One minute
they're telling you got to clean up your life and you got to live like something, or you're going to hold up the rapture, or you're going to hold up God from doing something. You're going to prevent God. And when you have more power than God, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, they know Brother Branham talked about predestination and eternal security, and so they know God's got you, but they don't know how to tell you how it works. And so when you don't have Malachi 4 and Revelation 10 with a clear understanding, you won't know how to preach it. You really won't, because there's quotes for all of it.
Well, I went to Tucson. They had 400 ministers there. And they signed me to be one of the speakers. They had 12 men. And I was one. And I brought out Revelation 10.
Right.
The reason I'm saying this, they said, we've never heard it.
They never had.
Never heard Revelation 10. Never heard nothing but Malachi 4. And here you come with a message of Revelation 10.
Now that was in 1978.
That was in 1978.
Now here we are all the way up in 2017. Now, even if they don't understand Revelation 10, they know something's going on.
Yeah.
You know, they know. Brother Chips always said hindsight's 20/20. They can always go back and get it later. But when the revelation's hot and heavy, they don't want it. And so they know something's going on and something's happening. but they don't know how to rightly divide it. They still to this day don't know how they'll hit Malachi 4, like Jeremiah said, 95-98% of the time. And if they hit Revelation 10, that's why I said if they hit it at all, they'll just barely touch it because they don't know what to do with it. But you got to come out and you got to go in. You got to be able to know the difference between law and grace.
That's what he preached tonight.
That's what he preached tonight.
That, in case you don't know it, he took us out, brought us out.
And brought us in.
And took us in. His message done that tonight.
And that's the way that works. Come on, musicians. That's the way that works. You got to come out, and then you got to go in.
Yeah, you can't just come out.
If you just come out and holler Malachi 4, Malachi 4, you die in the wilderness. That's what a lot of the children of Israel did. They come out of Egypt, but they didn't go. There was a lot of them that camped out at Kadesh Barnea and never went all the way into Canaan's land. It's not enough to come out. You got to go in. Amen. God bless you. Do come back on Sunday. Good to see everybody. And keep the church in your prayers. There's a lot going on with the body here. A lot going on with the people. Don't forget to remember to keep Trevor in your prayers and Mac and our elders. And just there's a lot of things happening. So, and we'll keep you informed on when they get ready to start doing the work here. So don't stop coming till we let you know. Yes, sir.
15 years or longer that I've back talked and haven't hardly took the pulpit. Think about it. 15 years.
At least.
At least. Probably they say about 20.
Mm-hmm.
But God has blessed, but I let you and Jeremiah have it.
Mm-hmm.
I backed off and took my seat. That don't mean that I can't preach.
No.
I figure me 88 years old.
Why work up a sweat when you got some young people around?
Well, I don't have to.
That's right.
But God has blessed, and I backed off, volunteered, take my seat, says you've got it, and travel around the world.
It just shows you that you have wisdom.
Yeah.
Because a lot of preachers don't do that.
They don't do that.
And they'll sit up here until they drop in the pulpit, and they got young men sitting there and not even using them. So you did a smart thing.
I think so.
I think so, too.
I said, boys, you've got it.
Yep. And it's been amazing. I enjoyed that, Jeremiah.
Amen.
I appreciate
and
that.
You all done a beautiful job, Casey.
Amen.
Don't know it.
Amen.
You all tuck it and run with it.
It's still going.
And still going.
That's right.
I'm sitting here saying, amen.
That's right. That's right. Can't
but
you see why I'm happy?
Heaven and earth has been shaken by this message.
By this message. It sure has.
By this message.
It sure has. Now, remember, Friday we'll be at Jeremiah's house at 7 o'clock. Fall party at Jeremiah's house, fellowship, bonfire, or whatever else he's got in mind out there. The address is back on the board, or get a hold of them, and they can make sure that you get there. And don't forget to come back Sunday, though.
I laid down one night overseas, way out of Manila, at 12 o'clock. What did I hear? They woke me up, said, Brother Childress, wake up. It's a pineapple factory right along the ocean. And I was rooming right along the ocean with a pineapple factory. It's my birthday. On my birthday, they woke me up and sung the song and said, this is a pineapple factory that you're hearing. They played probably almost an hour. Pineapples. You ever eat pineapples?
Oh, yeah.
They were good.
Very good over in the Philippines.
And God bless. And way along the ocean, woke up and said, "Wake up, Brother Children."
Because it was New Year's.
It was New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
I was born on New Year's. So they woke up, they said, "Wake up, set up, we're going to sing Happy Birthday." And they sung Happy Birthday. God bless.
Amen. They love you.
Oh, they love me.
They love you.
They begged me to come back.
And you know what? We would send you back, but we're being selfish. We're keeping you home with us. Amen. Now, come back. Come back expecting. Don't forget Friday night. Don't forget Sunday morning. Can't you see?